Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guests this week, Shane Joseph and Jennifer Bogart, author and publisher. Now, the new book, Crossing Limbo, its cover has had a little bit of controversy on social media. And how did that happen, and what was that all about?
Well, the cover was designed by Jennifer's team, and it's supposed to depict a scene from the opening story where you have a young girl who's contemplating a dastardly deed on a railway track, and she's quite lost hope in life. And I think what Jennifer and her team did was to portray that in terms of this young girl sitting quite forlorn on the track. At the same time, there's a bit of light in the tunnel there, which shows that there's potential for hope and that we really don't want to see this girl end her life on the tracks. Now, that was the intention, and that's how I read it. But, of course, a lot of others who see different versions of the same picture, you know, some thought it was trying to depict sex. Some tried to think it was a slutty drunken woman on the tracks. And so the comments started to grow, and I couldn't stop it, and I just let it grow. And it became quite a bit of a hoot. We didn't change anything. The cover stays as it is.
Okay.
And I thanked everybody for their comments, and we carried on. And so, I'm assuming that that the cover, despite whatever else it does, is that it's going to provoke some thought. But I'll also let Jennifer add to that.
Yes, because I was going to say, and from a publisher's perspective, is bad publicity, publicity anyway, or do you see it a different way?
I don't see it as being bad publicity at all. The cover's provocative. It makes you take a second look. It makes you think about what might be inside the book. You know, we always say you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Of course you're going to judge a book by its cover. That's the first thing you see. And because it elicited both an emotional response and a lot of conversation, that's a good thing. The mm-hmm. last thing you want to do is share a cover that comes up with crickets later and no conversation and nothing more than, oh, I like that. So a lot went into designing the cover. So Joanne is our cover designer, and we discussed the posture of the woman in the tracks. She is hunched over. She is not in any way in a sexual position. She represents all the women who appear within the stories, and there are several. The tracks, of course, you have that symbolism of crossing, of a journey. So all of those things come into play. As well as then we talk about the color of the red dress. And originally the dress wasn't red. Originally the model was wearing a salmon dress, which was very boring and very plain. And Joe changed the color of the dress to blue, which was also not very eye-catching. Mm-hmm. So we switched it to red. And the three of us who worked together said, that's the color, that's what we're going with. So red in itself symbolizes a lot of things, mm-hmm. and we forget that. It symbolizes love, it symbolizes anger, sexuality, frustration, joy. So there are so many things that it encompasses that it was perfect for the contents of the story. So there's a lot more involved in the cover than a woman sitting on a set of railroad tracks.
Yeah.
So controversy is a good thing.
I would agree with you.
And I'm told that if you come to the book launch, you'll see the publishing team walking around in red dresses.
Oh, okay. And are they going to have the 6-inch heels?
No. I don't think that's going to happen.
I like it because from what Shane was saying a little bit earlier, a lot of the stories are very, very dark. So apart from the red dress, the rest of it is very dark. So it speaks to the darkness in your stories, but it's not so dark that you can't see what's happening and you don't get that sense of, as you were saying, the little bit of light and the going to hope and so on. So, hey, it works for me. I'd pick that up.
Oh, that's good to know.
And I don't want to leave readers with the idea that this is all darkness. No. I mean, there's a lot of humor and tongue-in-cheek situations as well that are in the book. It's just that the overarching theme is darkness and how you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get through it?
Yeah.
Right?
So and coming out the other side is the light, right?
Exactly. It's mm-hmm. where the hope is, yeah.
Now, it's curious because you are also a publisher yourself, Shane, mm-hmm. you publisher for Blue Denim.
Mm-hmm.
which has published several of your previous books. So why did you move away from Blue Denim to Morning Rain Publishing?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked me that, because I was at a book fair once when a very well-known publisher, one of the big five, came up to me and saw my books, and he saw what I was doing, and he said to me, you know, you got to have another 100 of you guys doing this, because if you do that, you might replace or restore the middle class to Canadian publishing. Mm. And that's the tragedy we have today, is we have a bunch of big publishers with a few authors who are always in the limelight. And we have millions of self-published authors who try very hard to get their books noticed. And the middle tier is crumbling, right? And we need a good, strong middle tier of publishing, which will then farm the big leagues. And we don't have that. And so, you know, when I started Blue Denim Press, we were trying to do our little bit to bring that middle tier back. And then I met Jennifer, and she was doing the same thing. And we are both in the same little town. And I'm thinking, maybe we should help each other. We should try to collaborate where we can. Grow another publishing company if we can. And because there's no real problem with competition here. There's tons of supply. You know, if the question is, how do you create demand?
Right.
And that is the bigger challenge. And if between the two of us, we can put our heads together and figure out how to create demand, or maybe combine the demand that we each can create to make one book really sell, that's a win. So I had no problem in saying to Jennifer, you know what, you can take this book, and if you want to publish it, go ahead. And it seemed like she liked it, and so it worked. So I would like to do more of this collaborative work. I like what they're doing. They're doing exactly what I'm doing. And sometimes I wonder why the heck we're doing duplication here. Why can't we just divide and conquer the world? So anyway, that's to come. But we thought we'll try it with this one book. And if we don't pull our hair out by the end of it, then there will be more collaborative opportunities ahead of us.
And you say, you know, the hard part is getting readers, not getting writers. So when and where is this book going to be launched and put out into the world?
All right, so we're doing two launches. One is right here in Coburg on the 29th of June at Let's Talk Books, that lovely little bookshop on Coburg Street, at 7 p.m. on the 29th of June, which is a Thursday. And I hope everyone who's listening here will come out. I'd love to see you and read to you, and hopefully buy a copy of the book. Mm-hmm. And then the other launch is happening in Toronto on July the 8th, that's a Saturday, at the Supermarket Restaurant and Bar in Kensington Market. That's between 3 and 5 p.m. on the Saturday, July the 8th. And hopefully after that, then I'll just take the book to various venues and read and try to, you know, give it an extended life from there. And of course, the book is going to be available on Amazon and all the online retailers and bookstores can order it. And it's there. It's there, and I'm there. So if they want me to come out and read to them, I'd be very happy to do that.
And I presume it's coming out in print, but it'll also be an e-book?
Yes, it's e-book, Kindle, and Kobo.
And
EPUB, and you name it. You can have it. These folks are very good at doing that stuff. So,
yeah. As they say, wherever good books are sold.
Wherever good books are sold, yes.
Well, before we finish up, I'd love you to read a little more from Crossing Limbo, if you would, and tell us about the piece you're going to read.
Okay, so I'll read this one, which is also not as dark as it's been made out. This is a story called Postcards from Water's Edge. Water's Edge being a cottage on the lake in Ontario here somewhere. I actually wrote this story when I was at a cottage. And it's a story about an executive in a corporation who's been fired. And he's gone to this cottage to regroup and find out his next phase in life. And while at the cottage, he comes across this presence of the woman who had lived there. She lived to 102 years old. She had many stops and starts. And I actually came across this woman's postcards when I was down at the cottage myself.
Oh, so what a gift.
It was wonderful. I mean, I realized that, for instance, the postcard business in Canada went out of fashion, or actually went into demise, in the Second World War, when the cost of a postcard went up from 1 cent to 2 cents. And the twice-a-day delivery was not affordable anymore. So, you know, just like email killed the post office, this is how the postcard, you know, killed its own business by going up in price. So, little things like that. But anyway, I'll read the opening of this story, where the executive has just been canned. I found the postcards towards the end of my visit to the cottage. I'd been on the downer since that bastard Higgins called me into his office and told me my career was over. 20 years I'd given to that ungrateful company. 20 years of maintaining their computers, getting up at all times of the night, whenever troubleshooting was required. I'd been a 24/7 help desk all by myself, sometimes more for my own security than the firm's. And then he'd had the audacity to, "We are outsourcing to India," Higgins had said, looking out of the window of his cavernous office. "It's not about you, Jim." "Can I work for Mark over in product development?" I pleaded. Mark and his team were forever making new products, but they had no technical aptitude whatsoever. "I'm afraid that won't be possible. Mark's team is being outsourced too. Design is going to China and development to India. Welcome to globalization." This was, after all, 2008, the year capitalism in the West went into decline, never to return to its former glory. When I got home that day, my marriage also ended. My artsy wife, Nancy, who painted, hobnobbed with gallery owners in Toronto, sold nothing, and lived off my steady income, was shocked at my unemployed status. "How will we live?" "You mean, how will you live?" I growled. In retrospect, I should not have said that. But I had not been fired before, so I had no examples to draw from. A fierce row ensued, followed by a lengthy silence, and my relegation to the spare bedroom, which I had become very familiar with in recent years. Nancy left the following week to live with a friend. I found out soon after that this friend owned a gallery and had been thinking of doing a show exclusively for Nancy. After her move-in, or move-out from me, the show was confirmed. At least I did not have to worry about Nancy anymore. Alice, a co-worker in my IT area, called to inquire how I was doing. Just as I was pouring my fourth scotch for the day, Nancy left. Alice had always been solicitous about me in the 10 years we had worked together. She had volunteered frequently to take the graveyard help desk shifts from me, as she had no significant other in her life and was half a dozen years younger than me. I think she heard the plaintive tone in my voice over the phone. I had never had four scotches in a day either, and suggested I take a break and put some space between me and my troubles. "My family has a cottage out in Haliburton. It's a bit run down, but should give you a change of scene," she said. "You could have it for a week." "In summer? Isn't there a high demand for cottages, in whatever shape they're in? I don't want to put anyone out." "We don't know what to do with the place at the moment. It was my grandmother's. After she died in the 80s, the place has never been the same. My generation is not that dedicated to upkeep. We are thinking of selling it. So if you can take a bit of rusticity, it's yours for a week next month, free of charge." That's how I arrived at Water's Edge, this cottage on the lake, and met the ghost of Margaret.
Ooh, I want to meet the ghost of Margaret too.
You'd be surprised.
Oh, I think you like the ghost of Margaret.
Okay, yeah. Good. Well, we're going to have to end there, but let's just remind readers when the launch is and where.
Okay, so the first launch is at Let's Talk Books, the little bookshop at 45 Covert Street in Coburg. It's on June 29th, Thursday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the second launch is in Toronto on Saturday, July the 8th, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the supermarket, restaurant and bar in Kensington Market.
Great. And obviously, if you can't make the launch, go to your closest bookstore or online bookstore and buy the book called Crossing Limbo by Shane Joseph.
Exactly. Thank you.
Great. And listeners, if you'd like to connect with us, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions to our website, wordonthehills.com. And there you'll also find all our broadcasts archived, so you can listen to them anywhere and at any time. We'd love to hear from you, and we welcome your comments on all our programs. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, right here on Word on the Hills, 89.7 Truly Local Radio.